according to weather. Weather geniuses in the back, it's not going to hit. Okay, let's go ahead and call the Common Council meeting to order at 7:03 p.m. on June 11th. Please stand and say the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Roll call, please.
Ward.
Here.
Romine.
Here.
Kenrod.
Here.
Simpson. Absent.
Okay, in front of you are the minutes from the last Common Council meeting on May 28th. Were there any changes or corrections that needed to take place? Hearing none, can I have a motion?
So moved.
Second.
Okay. Motioned by Ben, seconded by Jackie. Any further discussion or questions? All those in favor show by the usual sign. It's unanimous of those present. Okay, next up is Mark Jesse. He is here from GAI Consultants. And one of the things that came up when the Board of Works was looking at some stormwater fees and issues were, Dan asked, it probably would be a good idea for us to kind of sit down and get a presentation from GAI as to how those stormwater fees were set. And so that's why Mark is here.
All right, yeah, I got a call from Jeff Walker a little while back, and he asked me how the impervious area was calculated as a part of the stormwater utility study that we did. And actually, I pulled up some archives, and I found some information right off the bat that I thought would be good to share with you today. What I did is I copied the introduction page of the study that we prepared. We prepared a manual, several hundred pages thick. We had a report that identified the process, how the rates were established, and then as a part of the report and a part of the process through developing the study, we had worked with a team to establish different policies and procedures, and those policies and procedures were used to calculate the number of equivalent residential units and calculating the impervious area. And what I did is I circled in blue as part of the introduction here that we had several meetings with what we call the Stormwater Working Group, and that included the mayor, the outside operations manager, clerk treasurer, and also the clerk staff. And the whole point of the process was so that there was a fair and equitable process as we move forward with the calculations. And we wanted to make sure that people were treated fairly and consistent. That's really the rule with the stormwater utility, is that there's not a whole lot of rules as part of the statute like there is for the water and wastewater utilities. Stormwater utility is able to be created as long as you have fair and equitable policies. So we worked with that working group, and as a result of that, these policies were established. I made a copy of those policies and attached it here. I think there were 16 of them. Some of them came up early, so we needed input from the working group to make sure that as we proceeded through the process and that we were doing things in a consistent manner. Those policies were taken and from the work group, approved by the Board of Works, and then eventually by the City Council. And ultimately, the entire manual, including all the sketches of each of the non-residential properties, that whole entire policy and binder was approved by the Council, and that was what was used by HGMBA to establish the user rates. And parallel with the stormwater rate study that we did, we also prepared a stormwater master plan, and that stormwater master plan identified stormwater improvements that were necessary. We had public information meetings. We tried to get information from the public as to where the stormwater issues were at. We wanted to hear it not only from the working group, but also from the residents as to what the stormwater problems were. We worked with the city to establish priorities for future projects, and we estimated construction costs and total project cost, and that was the basis for establishing the user rates. The very first thing that came up on the second page of the handout stormwater policies, the very first item, I think was what Jeff was asking about, was how the impervious area was determined. And what we had done with several others, as far as the stormwater rate study, is we had assumed that anything that was not grass, that was outside public right-of-ways, was considered impervious area. So whether it was stone, asphalt, concrete, if it was a shed, if it was a roof in the building, that area from each non-residential parcel would be measured up in that square footage, and that would be the impervious area. We established a baseline for what an average residential unit would be. We took a sampling, I think it was about 50 houses within Columbia City, older areas of town, new areas of town, big houses, little houses. We took a sampling of about 50. We measured those up using the GIS aerials. And we took that square footage of each one, added them up, divided by 50, and that became the basis of the equivalent residential unit square footage. So if that, say for instance, was 5,000 square feet, and there was a non-residential parcel that we measured up using the mapping, and that happened to add up to 10,000 square feet, then that would, in theory, be charged twice or two times what the residential unit would be. However, we put together a spreadsheet, and I believe we grouped them into different square footage ranges. So anything 10,000 feet maybe and below would be a certain rate. Anything 20,000 to 10,000 would be another rate. And that rate structure was adopted by the working group that works in the city council. There's also a lot of other good things that came up as a part of this policy decision. And this basically was a roadmap as to how we establish the stormwater fees. Now, as with any other policy, if there's something that does come up, something that needs to be amended, then the policy just needs to be adjusted accordingly. There's some odd things come up that weren't addressed or weren't envisioned early on. It's a living agreement. That's kind of the background as to how things work out.
Yeah, a couple things. When you're looking at impervious surfaces, is there a way to determine whether if you're on a pavement or concrete versus a stone drive? Is there ways to, I've had that question asked of me, because you'd like to believe a stone driveway absorbs more water than direct runoff. So could there possibly be a different way of rate for different types of surfaces?
Sure. Asphalt has a different runoff rate than concrete. It's different than stone. But by using aerials, you can't always tell the materials. Stone, maybe newer limestone, crushed limestone, maybe white, it might look like concrete. And to do an actual, if you're going to go through and do on a per parcel basis, the different runoff coefficient by the different types of materials that you would get into, maybe $1,000 or so a parcel,
sure,
which for 300 and some parcels, pretty expensive. So that's why I think we wanted to go with something that was fair and equitable and was consistent.
And when it comes to...
It could be done that way, but it would take up more effort.
Understood. But also, when we get questions from our residents, I don't know when this was done in 2006, but with the advancement of the GIS for the city as well as also the county, we look at these properties, is there some layers that's been created so that way we can justify, the cost? Some of the businesses and other larger areas, I understand the residential being small, but I know from personal experience that some other communities have created a couple layers that show exactly, the square footage that is being calculated. I don't know, is there some layers that, so that way when a resident comes in and asks, we can justify by looking at the closed polygon saying, okay, there's 15,000 square feet there or whatever.
Yeah, in that binder that I mentioned, we had included an individual 8.5 by 11 sketch, which included an aerial that was a snapshot their parcel that showed their property lines from the GIS, and we had on each page we had the parcel number, the property owner name, and the calculation as to the square footage of sidewalk, parking lot, roof area, and that was done on an individual log. Yeah.
Is that still in electronic form so we could possibly put it on our city's GIS?
I was going to say, I think Rosie has the hard copy of that.
Yeah, and whenever anybody asks, I just pull it out and show them the map. And
okay.
I mean, they did it through the tax, too, and pulled up all their tax sizes.
The parcel number with the account number where their existing utility accounts. Some parcels didn't have an account number, so then we'll see. That's one of the policy decisions was, if there's not a customer number from the utilities, then you would sign a new customer number to purchase stormwater. But there may be impervious area where there is not a water or sewer.
Right. Well, I was just looking at some of our businesses that I know are getting hit really hard by this fee. That, you know, if they got some of the larger pieces of ground, we could even do a little easier determination whether it's limestone or if it's, well, for example, 4-H grounds for one. I know the county highway for one. I know we got some other bigger areas that, we could, look at and maybe look at some adjustments. But I don't want to take away from the whole pot of things, but at the same time, I want to be fair on how we're assessing.
And if we've had questions, and I just had one last week, I just get a hold of Jeff, and he goes out and checks the area and makes sure what we're billing him is correct.
But didn't they just do that recently with golf course?
Yep.
Yeah.
But Board of Works, I think obviously the way it was originally done was based off of, guidance in regards to what is impervious surface, right? And I know that that's something that, if Jeff were here, and I don't want to put words into his mouth, but, he would say obviously driveways of asphalt or concrete, but also on top of that, gravel driveways still are considered, I think, impervious surface because, you don't have the drainage that naturally occurs with grass. Assuming, I guess, the utility board would kind of be the first step in that process, but if we were going to make exceptions in regards to, and I'm not assuming this is what you're saying, Dan, I'm just making a statement, that if the Board of Works would decide to make exceptions for commercial customers or industrial customers based on their square footage or based on the limestone driveway or whatever it ends up being, obviously we need to figure out again a fair and equitable way to go about doing that. And
I'm just trying to
understand
for a fair distribution of assessments that we're given, put it forth.
Mm-hmm.
Because some of those fees I've seen are that's pretty high, obviously. So I just want to make sure we're being, fair on how we assess it, because it has been brought to my attention. This area has got to absorb something versus something that's got a direct pavement runoff.
And I know we have to draw the line somewhere. I mean, obviously,
like you say, you've got to be fair and consistent.
And that's what I know. I'm sure that's what was difficult for that council at that time, figuring out what is, what is in that requirements, where that line is drawn. I'm sure that was very, very difficult for that council.
Well, I just know with the advancement of technology over since 2006, I know the city's been a better situation to show how these rates and things were determined. I'm not saying that you guys didn't do a great job doing that. I just say we can do that ourselves.
7 years worth of technology advancement. I mean, really,
Yeah, we do have all those as individual log cabin drawings right now. But we do have those archived, over time something.
I was gonna say, could you see, Mark? Could you see an opportunity or a, I don't want to say a need, because I'm not sure there's necessarily a need to do the full city again, but obviously in 7 years you have You know, you have people who have put in driveways and curb cuts. You have people that may have turned old driveways into grass area. You know, I think we've had, you know, movement in the last 7 years. And I guess I would ask, have you guys worked with any other city in regards to re-evaluating properties throughout the whole city? Or what is a, if there is such a thing, what is a normal timeline to, you know, is it every 10 years you go back and you reevaluate the properties to see if it's, if they're still in an appropriate category or not, or how do you do that?
Well, we've never gone back and done that in the past. The way that we have these set up is that once the rates are established and we know that the, what the photography date was on the aerials at the time, the aerials that we were using to scale things, we got our hands on all the building permits that since then, so were the additions, we had those drawings, we added those additions, we measured those up, and we included those on the square footage in addition to the aerials. And the way it was set up is that after the rates were established and the study was done, that the stormwater rates would be calculated as you would get building permits. You have a new commercial building that wants to build from scratch. They have to get their building permit. Mm-hmm. As part of the building permit, they measure up the square footage. They establish what their monthly user rate is going to be. And then that user rate goes to the clerk's office, and then they create a stormwater fee for that future development. So once it's all built out, then that stormwater fee is perpetual. So as someone has an addition for to add a garage, but there again, residential parcels are flat rates, so it can only apply to the non-residential parcels. But as there's an addition to an industry wants to add a parking lot, or they want to add another 10,000 square foot addition to their building, they have to come to you, the city, to get the building permit. So as part of that building permit, the square footage should be measured up and added to the store. So that really should be a perpetual.
Okay, so yeah, what I'm hearing you say then is that when we have buildings that are built on maybe currently vacant land or whatever, they come in and we basically, as a part of that process, they get new stormwater fees attached on there, is basically. So really, it is an updating, automatically updating situation.
Like so. And as curb cuts and things like that happen, everything that is within the public right-of-ways, so the streets and the sidewalks, and the drive approaches to the sidewalks, everything that was in public right of way was exempt. That was not measured because you would end up, the city would be paying for that. So that would be a washer being sent to doing that. So it's only private property where it would be impervious area. But that's something you could go back and take a look at. And that may be something maybe you can compare the 8.5 by 11 aerials. I guess what's really out there now.
Yeah.
Maybe there's a few things that slipped through the cracks, or it's hard to catch everything.
Well, and I guess I didn't know that it was a perpetually improving, if you will, process. So that makes me feel a little better about in general, the parameters that we set in 2006, that they have been updated continually.
Yeah, if they get a building permit, it's automatically sent over to us, and I think actually the department heads checks off businesses and stuff. I'm not sure they're supposed to anyway. And then Jeff lets us know what the stormwater charges are, or the sizes.
I guess I just think about like the senior center. Obviously, they're building a fair. I mean, they're doing a pretty good size addition, and so I'm assuming when they got their, their building permit, they also got an additional stormwater charge for that additional area.
Right, when they're done.
But it wouldn't be a bad idea maybe to borrow Rosie's binder.
Yeah, just look through it.
Take a look through it because it's, the report is thin, but all the data crunching is what the report was really the majority of the work. And then to see how those, I think we have the 50 samplings of the residential parcels. We have aerials of those where we calculated those in the spreadsheet, and all the non-residential that are organized as well. And then there's a spreadsheet that identifies where each parcel fits and sorted by impervious area square footage. So you can see the groupings that we had. There was an average, I believe from what I remember, there was a lower cost associated with each group than what they would have normally paid. And the working group decided not to put together a credit program because of what that would involve with as far as managing that.
Yeah.
Some people have credit programs, affordable places have a credit program.
They probably also have a stormwater department made up of many
people.
Yeah, yes, than our city probably has as a whole. So,
yeah, budget problems.
Yeah, and budget problems. That's exactly right.
Well, part of me wonders, you know, with, since this has been established, we've got a number of new residents.
Mm-hmm.
If we don't need to do a better job of explaining what those fees go for, because it's been a considerable amount of time since, you know, that was established, and a lot of people don't have an understanding of what. Why are we paying this at this point in time? What monies we have available, what are they being used for? I think we need to do a little better job of communicating that to our new residents as well as the ones that maybe have forgotten. Because I know when it was originally set up, the term stormwater has a wide range of where it could go, and then I was told that it could only go one direction. And we have since used it for other things, for drainage, which is, in my opinion, the right thing to do with it. But sometimes I think the word stormwater has a misconceived notion of what's really going on with it.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know.
Yeah. Obviously, yeah. And I would agree, you know, as we've talked about many, many times in the past, we're always working to better communicate with our citizens, obviously. You know, when we look at, as you well know, as we look at the stormwater dollars that come in from our residents, we use that for stormwater separation projects. We use it in regards to as we did with the Board of Works a couple of meetings ago. We use those dollars to offset additional drainage fees that would be tacked onto property taxes for our residents. So I feel like we use those dollars appropriately, and I think we use them. We do a good job of using those dollars, but the communication piece is always a work in progress. So, I mean, I agree in regards to that. Yeah. Other questions, Mark?
I appreciate your comment.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you, Mark.
Would you like me to burn a DVD of
it? Yeah, I think that'd be useful for our GIS department here for the city. No, I think Mike can. So.
Do you know of any towns that don't count the stone as impervious?
No. Everybody, I've talked to some other people that have stormwater utilities and they've been involved. They use the same philosophy that anything other than grass. We just were involved in one up in Wisconsin. Exactly. Up here, you go there, say.
I'd guess it'd be, yeah. I would just guess it would be very difficult from an aerial photo, except for sending someone out to every property to calculate that. I just don't know. How could you do it a better way?
I think a burn, actually, they went through and did an analysis of each parcel. I think their cost per month for residential is like $23.
Yeah, it's higher than ours. It's
probably
the highest in the state, actually.
That was pretty expensive.
Yeah.
I mean, as far as when you do a site development project, you calculate the average slope, the runoff coefficient for the type of material, and you calculate that, you do a whole stormwater evaluation on a per parcel basis. And if you want to go to that, it would be a huge cost.
I understand, you know, the residential areas. I'm just looking at making sure we're fair with the bigger businesses.
Or, I understand.
You know, I don't know. If you set up a square footage or where we determine that, you know.
And I know that I think there's a cap too. There's a maximum no matter how big you work, so that didn't discourage large development to occur.
Mm-hmm.
So that was
okay. Very good.
Okay.
Thank
I'll
you.
DVD for you.
All right. Thanks.
Thanks.
Okay. Next up is ordinance number 2013-16. Can I have a motion to read by title only?
So moved.
Second.
Motioned by Ben, seconded by Nicole. Any further discussion or questions? All those in favor show by the usual sign. It's unanimous of those present. Please read ordinance 2013-16 by title only.
Ordinance, 2013-16, an ordinance amending Chapter 51, sewage service, of the Code of Ordinances of the City of Columbia City, Indiana.
Okay. The last time, I know there was some discussion about this last time. Marcia, I think you were involved in that discussion. I wasn't here. I apologize for that. But I know that Marcia had put in some of those amendments, I think, into the... Because there was some discussion as to the grandfathering of connections, if you will.
Well,
yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, that was all addressed at the last meeting.
Yep.
What I changed, I can't believe I can't remember. So it's four under illicit connection. Should have brought my marked up copy.
Section one.
Section one.
Number four, and
yeah.
I think it's underlined, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So it basically says
so
that
the bottom line is it's the issue of, you know, what if a grandfathered illicit connection gets disconnected and then eventually they reconnect. Well, then it's not grandfathered anymore. No matter who did it, at least this is what my understanding of the council, no matter who did it or how it got disconnected, once it's disconnected and then they reconnect, now it's not grandfathered anymore. Did I understand what you desired correctly?
Right. Because the question came up is how do you prove it was, if it was before or after the grandfather date? And it's just easier to say anything after this date if it's disconnected, mm-hmm. regardless of what reason.
It's going forward.
It's going forward. It has to be corrected.
Okay. Now, I know that this is, and I'm sure you covered this last time under the great leadership of your council president, but just so I'm clear, I've, of course, looked through it. I've talked with Mike about this. This sewer ordinance has gone through extensive changes. To make sure we're protecting the residents currently, to make sure that we are not going to be headhunters, basically, is what the term, I guess I'll use that term, and that we basically say, you know, from this point forward, any illicit connections that are disconnected and get reconnected, those have to be legal connections from there on going forward. Obviously, there was direction from the Department of Environmental Management in regards to the NPDES permit, and all the permits our wastewater treatment plant has to get approved every year. Is that every year, Mike? The NPDES, is that every year?
5 years.
That's every 5 years. But in connection with that, that this is one of those things we had to put in place. Again, this is one of those lovely laws that come from above. That come down to us, and we have to enact it and enforce it. I think what is important is that obviously there is benefit to this because we're trying to take stormwater out of our sewer system. Ultimately, more stormwater in our sewer system costs us dollars with chemicals, you know, lead to overflows, things to that effect. So, but I appreciate the work that was done by Mike and Marcia and everybody else involved in making this ordinance, I think, a lot more customer-friendly. I really think this is much more customer-friendly than the first time it came through. And I think it addressed the council's issues at that point in time. And I'll shut up. That's all I wanted to say about that.
I agree with what we're... This is much lighter than what we was anticipating. Because the first draft of this was really pretty ugly for our residents.
Yep.
Greatly improved.
So is the building department aware of what is an illicit connection at this point? Or what we're defining as an illicit connection? So if they come out and inspect, because this says it has to be inspected. So if they come out and do an inspection, are they aware of what we allow and what we don't allow?
Inside a home? I know that they probably just go by what the Indiana plumbing code says. And I cannot reference Indiana plumbing code off the top of my head, so I can't tell you. Yeah.
Well, that's fine. I'm just...
Do you want, like, Mike and myself to go over and talk to Dave, maybe, and just have a little discussion?
Well, the way the ordinance is written, that, you know, you have to have it inspected, and if the inspector signs off on it, it's a legal connection. So I'm just saying make sure the building inspector, whoever's doing that
inspection... Oh, the inspector himself. Oh, okay.
...understands what we are considering a legal connection.
Yeah, I mean, one of us should go, if not both of us, should probably go and have that discussion.
You want to talk with Craig?
Yeah.
Craig's still in charge of it?
Yeah. He said building department, and I was thinking of Dave, so, yeah.
I don't think it would hurt even to have Dave in on
Dave,
that conversation.
Because actually Dave, you know, a lot of people come in and start with him.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And
right.
So that probably would not be a bad to set up a meeting with both of them and just say, well, yep, make sure everything's understood.
Okay. I think that's a great plan.
Okay.
That's usually half the battle is making sure all the levels understand where we're at.
Leave it, time works out. Okay.
Okay. Any other questions, comments? Okay. Hearing none, can I have a motion to approve?
Make a motion to approve ordinance 2013-16, amendment to sewer service on the second reading.
Okay.
Second.
Motion by Ben, seconded by Dan. Any further discussion or questions? All those in favor show by the usual sign. It's unanimous of those present. Okay. Next up is resolution 2013-18. Do I have a motion to, let's see. Well, yeah. Do I have a motion to read by title only?
So moved.
Motion by Jackie, seconded by Dan. All those in favor show by the usual sign. It's unanimous of those present. Please read 2013-18 by title only.
Resolution 2013-18, reestablishing the cumulative street fund under IC 36916.5.
Okay, and Rosie, do you want to?
Yes. As you
tell
recall,
them why we're doing this again.
Yeah. As you recall, we did this once, but on the street one particularly, when it was originally established, it was the cumulative street fund, and in the process of doing our approving our budgets every year, they renamed it as the Cume Bridge Fund, and which that is not what the city can have, so I named it Street Cume Fund or Bridge Fund under that IC code. Well, they denied it, so then they come back and say, well, we don't even have the authority to approve it, that's just the council approves it, we don't even have to send it to the state anymore. And so they said just to go ahead and have the council reestablish it as a resolution, and that's all I have to do.
So this
now,
is redoing what we did.
That's
yeah,
exactly right.
Then on the fire, they denied that one because there was a number wrong in the publication, and they wouldn't approve it. So it's on the next agenda. The only one that got approved was Mark.
Thank you to our state bureaucrats for helping us waste more council time.
Yeah. So that is what this is. It's just redoing what we did, only it's just a resolution passed by the council.
Okay, so it's not going to be increasing.
No,
what
it's
we've
nothing
already
to
done.
Change.
No, it's
no.
It's what you've already done. We're just
gotcha.
Reapproving it is what you're doing. Okay. Other questions? Can I have a motion to approve resolution 2013-18?
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Nicole, seconded by Ben. All those in favor show by the usual sign. It's unanimous of those present. Thank you. Okay, next up is department head reports. We will start with Kelly.
Sorry, I just got lost in my notes here. I wanted to thank Mike for coming down to the cemetery. We had a water leak down there around the shed, and his guys come down there and found the leak and dug it up and fixed it. Should be saving about 18,000 gallons of water now or something from the leak we had. Still kind of cleaning up a little bit from last week's storm. Trying to have the sweep route as much as we can, and had to back up, pushing back some approaches where we had 2 or 3 foot ruts in some of the alleys in the storm. Doing some street repair in front of the curb. Construction company, trying to get some edges fixed up and some bad spots in the street fixed up before curbs go in. And been working on ramps out in Heritage Place. We're still trying to get those in. And doing some mowing on the easements. Getting ready to grade all our alleys and ready for spraying for dust control for the year, like we do every year. And That's all I have.
Questions of Kelly. I would like to take this moment to please ask our citizens, if they are going to go around and junk other people's junk, then please do it during regular daylight hours and not at 1:48 in the morning. Thank you. I say that just out of respect for all the citizens. Please be respectful of when you do that. Rustling around in people's boxes that early in the morning outside people's windows frustrates the mayor. Okay. Mike Cook.
I'll be at home tonight, so you won't have to work. Okay. Tomorrow we're hosting the Northern Indiana Operators Association meeting for June. We'll start with a plant tour from 10:30 to 11:30, and then we'll be out at the park inside a new pavilion with a luncheon and a seminar that we'll be able to get 3 hours for each one of our students who stay towards their license. Today was the first day for our ICE student from the high school. His name's Travis Hurst. It's a new program that we started this year that I worked with the mayor on, and working through the high school at the ICE program. And he'll work about 30 hours this summer with us, and during the school year, he'll drop down to about 15 hours while he's in school. So that was a nice addition to our staff that helped us out this summer. And we still have our student intern from Indiana University, too, and he's working out really well for us, too. As my report that I sent out last week, you can see that we had 5, 6, 7 pieces of equipment that broke during the last storm. Most of that is fixed, and our fine screen was down. It actually took a piece of grating that I reported, took it in at the bottom, took it to the top, and wrapped it around the shaft. Shut down. We thought we got that back in service, and yesterday the bearings in the clutch housing let go. So they tore that apart yesterday and put new bearings and put it back together and reset the clutch. So that's back in operation yesterday, and hopefully that will hold. Now, the actuator that's on our main gate, we're waiting on parts in order. We've had that inspected and parts are ordered. We're waiting for those to come in so we can tear that apart and put it back together. The static screen and the EQ well had a couple panels blow out during all that rain. Those have since been put back in, reinstalled, and that total screen was a power wash and cleaned, ready for tonight's storms, it looks like.
Hey, Mike, I have a question real quick with the EQ basin. Did it do much better in this last rain than it did in the prior large rain that we had?
No, it did not overflow. We didn't actually fill it all the way.
Oh, really?
The water that should have went into it ended up in the basement of our headwork. And that water in there was about 14 feet deep.
Okay. Not quite the answer I was looking for, but what?
So, but it did go in the river.
No, it didn't go in the river. We just held it in the wrong spot. And that day, speaking of that, when that was underwater and they got that all drained and pumped down, our fine screen has two control panels, one upstairs and one downstairs. And they have to, one has to be set one way to get it to reverse the screen. And that's the one downstairs. Well, that one, when they went up to actually touch it, it burnt their fingers. And had steam. We had video of it on one of the phones up there at work with actually steam coming out of it. And they finally got it opened up and the water run out of it. And it still works, which is amazing. But we need to have the guts replaced inside that. But, yeah, it still works. Yeah, 14 feet of water in there. And some in the EQ. And we had all kinds of failures and stuff. And the PLC failed down there. I was in 5 hours on Saturday, and I spent several hours working on that, trying to get it back up and online.
I should also mention, was it Eric?
Yes.
Eric was working. Did he work 24 hours, or it was
he
close?
He was in 10 o'clock Friday night, and he went home Saturday afternoon about 5:20.
So the storm, yes.
One of them come in to do, they called somebody in to do the testing, because they were falling behind, so the employee came in, took care of that part of it,
And then the supervisor was in from about 7 a.m. until 5, and then I was in from 11 something, just before noon until about 5:30 on that Saturday after that, when we had that rain between Friday and Saturday.
Thank you.
And, but the last thing I have is our UV system has been, doesn't want to stay on in an automatic mode, so we have it in a maintenance mode now, which actually we have all 120 bulbs running. But if we go back to an automatic mode, we take a chance of it shutting off and not turning back on. So we keep it that way, and we're scheduled to have the tech come out and hopefully get that repaired in July 15th, I believe.
Okay. Questions of Mike? Thank you, Mike. Terry?
Well, last week we completely required maintenance on our SCADA server and dispatch that monitors all the different alarms in electric department, wastewater department, and water department. Been working with Alex Drummond. He's a student that is not from IU. He's actually from Huntington, and he's working on our Android app so we can have that also available to the public. Installed a new computer out at the electric department for their new supervisor. And SDS Communications has been working out the part today and tomorrow trying to repair 3 cameras that we lost during the flood. That's all I have.
Questions of Terry? Thank you, Terry. Sean?
Well, we installed a couple more new services last week, which is always a good sign. We're continuing to, I think we had 3 this week on schedule, and a couple are ready for next week scheduled, so that's a good sign.
Where are those typically at?
One at the lakes, one's the new Council on Aging building. We had Greg got them hooked up this last week. We got 2 more in, out by the lakes next week. So a lot of our group right now is out by the lakes. So I mean, just more space to grow.
Yeah.
We cut a couple of trees at the park that were kind of dead and hanging over the pavilion there. So we got those out of there. We had 2 outages in South Whitley and Saturday at 3 a.m. And then we had another one yesterday morning. We've had 2 or 3 in town caused by squirrels. And I'll say again that this is the time of year the squirrels are out and running, and we've done everything we can to kind of protect our equipment and them from our equipment and our equipment from them both. But we're still going to have the occasional outage from a squirrel, so we appreciate the community's our customers' patience on that. We had shutoffs last week. The numbers were down, not nearly as many shutoffs. A little bit later in the month, I think, helped. We had hired a new employee, started on Monday. Brandon Lopez is his name. Welcome him to the city if you happen to see him. He's originally from Indiana, moved to Texas for a few years, was a journeyman lineman down in Texas, and now he's back up in Indiana. Happy to have him. Promoted Jason Branning to construction supervisor. He kind of began that role this week as well, working with me pretty much. So I'll be kind of working 2 roles for a little while longer until Jason's comfortable taking over. And we have 2 guys away at lineman training this week down in Crawfordsville. When they come back, they'll be second-year linemen. So excited to have them moving up as well. And we have another customer on our load profile software. This will be our 2nd customer. Holmes Lumber joined the CNR Plating as customers on this load profile system that we now have 2 customers that are on that program. And that's pretty much it.
Question for Sean.
Sean, have they hooked up yet?
No.
Okay.
The meter is installed. They're in the process of doing the training and things like that through the AIS program.
I need to film.
Yeah, they're not. Okay. They're not going yet, but the meter is installed and they're in the process of their training and everything's hooked up. They just haven't began using it.
Okay.
Thank you, Sean. Tom?
This Saturday, the 15th, we have Elks Flag Day over at the courthouse at noon. In case anybody's interested in going and watching, they'll be set up the ladder, and the Elks do a little presentation of the flag. Currently, right now, I have crews down at the 4-H grounds doing some fire protection, added fire protection for the circus that's there. They have a little performance inside of the, what is it, the show barn.
What's the name of that
performance? They have a piece in there that we were not comfortable with, so in speaking with the state fire marshal's office, they have the ring of death, which is something so horrific I'm not allowed to talk about it in public. I'm kidding. It's a thing that is not permissible under the code unless they have a variance or have added fire protection through our department, so we did that for them. There's a couple different things going on. We're planning for Old Settlers and 4-H, getting things around for that. And Tim let me know a little bit ago that they're going to be asking us for some help with the traffic during the parade for Old Settlers. Yeah. And we've also notified, in case anybody gets any phone calls, and I forgot to say this during the Board of Works, we have notified all the people along the emergency route that goes down Market Street to Walnut, the 100 block of North and South Walnut, and then that little stretch from Walnut to Line. We have put flyers on every door to notify them of that emergency route that we post every year. So if you get any phone calls from them, you'll know they were notified.
Most of them have gotten pretty used to it,
I would think.
But new people who have moved in may not quite understand.
So we just posted it to everybody. We put it in everybody's door again.
Yep, I agree.
That's it.
Good. Questions at Tom? Thank you, Tom. Tim?
We also are gearing up for Old Settlers, working on the schedule. Had to have some extra manpower in the evenings on the midway, and also obviously for the parade, when the extra manpower there. So we will ask for the fire department, and the county reserves will also help us out for the parade. That's a big night for us, and we're getting ready for that. Again, this year, I'll do my one-on-one meetings with each officer. Those will begin soon. It'll take me a couple months to meet with everybody, but eventually I'll get that done. Officers continue to attend outside training courses. Numerous officers have been this year and will continue to go to courses the rest of this year. Captain Hively last week was at a polygraph seminar to keep up his certification as a polygraph examiner. Training continues for the in-car computers and then the operating systems on those computers that are in the squad cars now. Next week we begin handgun qualifications, where each officer has to qualify on the academy course. And then we're going to work on some changes and restructuring to our training program. And next week I will be out of the office on vacation, but I will have my cell phone with me if anyone needs anything.
Questions of Tim? Thank you, Tim. Mark?
Tonight at the park, it's a little quiet. We have the 10 Caps Night, which is a fundraiser for baseball and softball, so there are no games tonight, and a lot of the people are at the 10 Caps game, so enjoying that, hopefully, and not getting wet. But baseball and softball has gone well. Specifically softball, I think they've done a great job with the umpires, and heard really great compliments about that whole change this year. Pavilion is getting used now quite a bit. Still are doing some work inside with painting. We haven't quite opened the outside bathrooms to the public yet because we want to paint the floors, so we should be doing that here probably either late this week or early next week. Opening ceremony we're having this Friday at noon. I'd like to invite each one of you if you can make it. It'll be at the new bridge. It's opening ceremony for the new bridge and the trail. And also the bathrooms are being installed this Friday morning as well. So there'll be a lot going on back there. If you'd like to be involved with that, we'd love to have you there. We had today our whole part-time crew there, which was nice. We got a lot done today with mowing. And of course, it kind of helped not having to do any fields today. But we We got a lot done, so our whole summertime staff was there. We had a washout last Friday when we got that 6 inches of rain on the trail on the greenway. I don't know if you've heard about it at all, but it's pretty bad. Receiving quotes now to get that repaired quickly, hopefully quickly. Found out today insurance will not cover that, but so we've got to come up with that ourselves. But it's a pretty bad washout in the trail from all that rain that came. And then lastly, last Saturday we had a cricket tournament. I don't know if anybody you made it down there at all, but it was a neat experience, and it was a lot of fun. I enjoyed being down there with the Fort Wayne Cricket Association put it together. We had 16 teams from all over, not just Indiana, but they were out-of-state teams. So it was a neat experience, and I think they plan on doing it again next year. But it was very late. I left at 2:30 in the morning, and they were still playing. And I actually called the police at that point and said, could you shut the lights off? I'm going to go home. It was a very long day. So one of the changes for next year is we're not going to end at 2:30 in the morning. So, yeah.
Okay. Questions of Mark? Thank you, Mark. Mike?
We've got all the businesses on Frontage Road switched over to the new main. And then today we made the connection on the main that comes underneath 30 in the middle of Frontage Road onto the new main. And next Monday we will be doing the final connection at the west end of Frontage Road. We're going to have the intersection, not the intersection, but the west edge of Frontage Road shut down for 2 days to get that done. And also during that process, there'll be about a 2-hour period where Wooddale and Wilkeswood will be without water. So it shouldn't take longer than 2 hours to have that done and have them back up and running. We went over to North Elm Street in Jolly and started laying some water main over there. We're just going to do the 200 block at this time so that some of the concrete curb and handicap ramps can get finished over there. And we turned on a new service out in Lincoln Point, and that's about it. So,
questions of Mike? Okay, thank you, Mike. Public, do you have any comments, questions? Hearing none, I want to introduce Olivia Western. She is she's been an intern for me for a little while now, and will go through about the middle of July. She's going to be a junior at Indiana University, major in psychology and minor in political science. So every day when I come into the office, I know she's analyzing every move that I make. But she's been very helpful. She's actually working on a welcome packet for us to provide to the new citizens that have services, new services here in town, kind of jumping off where a previous intern kind of left off. And so she's been doing a lot of really great work designing and moving forward in something that would be great for those new residents. So kind of a way we can roll out the welcome mat for new people in our community. So, okay, Marcia.
Nothing.
Rosie.
Just a question. If it's agreeable with everybody that we move council up to 6 p.m. the next week, next time, since it's Old Settlers Day.
Can we move council to 6 p.m.?
6 p.m. Yeah. I have nothing for the Board of Works agenda, so.
Currently.
Yeah, currently. So, does anybody have a problem with that?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
What?
Yeah, does anybody have a problem with that? Okay.
All right, thanks.
Good. Very good. Hopefully we won't be competing with Spike and Bulldogs, but
probably
not.
Maybe they'll take more than they take.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, is that
fine? I don't know. I can't help that, unfortunately.
Maybe. Then I don't have
nothing else? Okay. Jackie?
Nothing.
A couple of things. I forgot to mention it at the Board of Works meeting, so I have to apologize to Wall on that. We are doing the department heads have agreed, if you will, to having a citywide open house at our different departments so that residents, citizens, if they want to come in and take a look at how the water plant works, or, you know, the fire department getting up close look at the trucks, or, you know, things like that, that we're going to have a time set aside. September 21st, that's a Saturday from 9 to noon, we are going to have basically our departments open for people to kind of get to look at our equipment, get to see what processes we have, kind of get a behind-the-scenes look, if you will. Appreciate the department heads being willing to come in on that day and help out with those tours. We're going to try it, see if individuals are interested, and if it, you know, if it's something that works well, we may continue it, you know, in future years. But
hopefully, it works better.
Yeah, actually, I should mention that Mayor's Night In, as of, because it was on last Thursday, as of Tuesday afternoon, I had nobody signed up. I had nobody signed up or come to the previous one. So after we put the call out to the post and mail to talk of the town, I ended up having 7 different people show up. So I appreciate those individuals that came. We will continue it as I kind of scheduled it out, I think, into September or October. So we'll continue that, and had really good conversations. Got a couple of things taken care of, so I was really pleased with that. So yeah, so citywide open house, September 21st. I'll put out a press release, Brett, just so you know. That'll be, I think that's going to be a neat thing. Maybe I'm pie in the sky, but we'll see. Also wanted to let you know I had... we've done a 6-month review of performance evaluations with all the department heads except for Jeff, and his is scheduled for tomorrow. So those are being done not only by me, but also in each of the departments. They're getting their 6-month review, which each of the different departments, so that's what they're doing. Parking committee, Thursday morning. CIP committee is on Friday morning. There's anything else. Oh yeah, Blue River Trail, as Mark talked about, we're going to be having that ribbon cutting. So in any case, a lot of really good things happening. Just wanted to kind of let you know about that, and if you have questions, as usual, feel free to give me a call or stop by and have a chat. Or email.
I had an open house thing. Did you remember that's the Fall Festival?
No, Fall Festival is not that date.
Oh, it isn't?
No. Fall Festival had to be changed because we found out that date was Johnny Appleseed. We thought probably not a great idea. So Fall Festival is currently scheduled for the 14th of September now. Just as an FYI, I'm sorry if we did not pass that on. Now, for July 3rd, our July 3rd fireworks celebration, have we got a band and everything like that? Okay. It's a new one for this year, right?
Yes, it is.
Okay. Yeah. You want to talk about that or not yet?
I can't think of their name.
Is it the Junkyard?
Yes,
Junkyard Band. Yeah.
The Junkyard Band is going to be there. So the Spike and the Bulldogs.
Yeah, I've got a picture. Band this year. Which maybe I can get that to you.
They're excellent.
Yeah. Well, yeah. We talked about maybe going a little bit different route this year. Kind of neat. I know that was a lot. I'm sorry. That's all I have. Dan?
Just a comment on our Southeast meeting.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Thought that went very well.
Good job, Nicole.
All for putting that together. Just gave us a chance to meet with some people and explain some situations. I think all of us came away with something, greater knowledge of what their concerns are, how we might be able to address them. They have a little better understanding where we come from as well. Mm-hmm. So I think it was all in all a win-win situation. So I really appreciate that time.
That was good. I'm going to lock it in that kind of comment. So thank you for helping me out. Okay.
Okay. Thank you. Ben.
I just say good job to the departments. The other night when we had the rain, just amazing me when we have a natural weather occurrence. All the departments just show up and you don't see them or do their job.
Yeah. Don't get the accolades they deserve, for sure.
That's correct.
You're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. Before I move on, you guys, do we have an ordinance committee meeting set up yet?
An ordinance review? I was going to talk to you after the meeting.
Okay. So make sure you guys talk about that and get something set up, because I want to keep that moving. So, not that you don't. So. Okay. Nicole, you're good?
Yep.
Press. Okay. We'll call the meeting adjourned. Thank you, everybody.
Oh,
you can get one too if you stop by the office room. Does it say Ryan Daniel on it? Yeah, there's a reason for that. I learned the Jim Fleck lesson about not putting my name on pens, because then Terry Smith brings it up in the public. So, and you too? I didn't know you were a